Class. Well, John, thank you very much for taking the time to come see us. Appreciate it.
Oh, no, it's always an opportunity to get the word out there, what we do in Ireland and how well we do it.
Absolutely. And a bit of a full-on schedule you've got over here up for the conference. So really appreciate you taking this time to talk with us and share a bit of your story. It's cool.
Yeah. Well, the biggest part of our business is educating people.
For sure.
As to what we do and where our products are available.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 years ago, we started selling wild Irish tuna in the Irish market and people laughed at us. You know, it would have been easier to sell leprechauns. But the reality is Irish fishermen catch a very small fish called albacore tuna.
Yeah.
And this year, the quota for Irish fishermen is 3,000 ton.
Okay.
That's about 7 miles of 40-foot containers bumper to bumper. So it's a significant fishery.
That's a chunk, yeah.
It's not one or two fish. It's a big fishery.
Yeah. So I mean, one of the things that you said was, you know, you feel like one of your responsibilities for today, but also I think just your business, is this word educate, right?
Yes.
So today I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of very ignorant questions.
That's fine.
Borderline stupid questions.
No,
I'll hold
no.
my hands up because I was talking to a fella next door and he's a big fan of fish.
Yeah.
Loves fish. And we were just saying how little we actually know about this thing. You know, so one of your favorite quotes that you sent through that I loved was something along the lines of good tuna isn't cheap and cheap tuna isn't good.
Exactly.
Why is that? Unpack that for us a little bit.
Okay. Well, for a start, there are about 7 types of commercial tuna.
Okay.
There's maybe over 25 different types in general.
Yeah.
But there are 7 key types. And they're kind of like horses.
Okay.
You've got like Shetland ponies and you've got Clydesdales. Okay. And they're all different grades and different value. But albacore tuna now in Europe would be a premium fish.
Mm-hmm.
In the South Pacific, they would value yellowfin tuna more.
Interesting.
But the main tuna sold in supermarkets is a variety called skipjack, which would be the cheapest and the lowest grade.
That's the stuff you're getting in unnamed supermarkets for 17p or something ridiculous.
Correct.
Like that.
Correct.
Okay.
Now that fish would be aggressively fishy taste-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And usually people end up putting mayonnaise on it or something to calm it down a bit.
Yeah.
But with albacore tuna, it's such a mild fish. The best way to eat it is with a fork. I say to people, if you're going to put mayonnaise on it, just give it back to me. I don't.
It's wasted on you. Go get your skipjack.
Yeah, well, work away at that. Yeah, yeah. But we don't like. I get people. They say to me, "Oh, I want to buy sandwich tuna for sandwich bar," and they're telling me that they're buying tuna like for €5 kilo. I says, "Well, I can't supply you with that because what I'm supplying you is like fillet steak.
Yeah,
and you're buying liver, and you want it at the same price. I can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when people say your tuna is dear, they have to know what they're buying first.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people know the price of everything but the value of nothing.
So true.
And they think that all tuna is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not all the same. And they all command a different price. And taste-wise, there's daylight between them.
Yeah.
You know, miles of difference. But, you know, like I grew up in the fishing industry. I was a fisherman in Kittybegs for 20 years. I was always aware that we caught really good tuna.
Mm.
But I really never knew the best way to get it processed.
Yeah.
You know, in Ireland, we'd either sell it fresh or frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But to get it preserved in olive oil, in jars, that was a game changer for us.
Yeah.
Because it really meant, because then it became an ambient product, you could store it in shelves, it has a 3-year shelf life, you know, it's very versatile for hamper companies, and there's no limitations as such time-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been a learning experience for us as to how to communicate that message to the public.
Yeah.
Because the public do want to know. And when they do know, they don't mind paying a premium provided they're getting a superior product.
So this is the thing, right? So I've been eating your fish for, like I said, about 6 months.
Yes.
I first discovered it in a farm shop in the village where I live. Okay, so they're selling premium products.
Yes.
And we went on a bit of a journey, I suppose, like a lot of people did around COVID. You're sitting there in the house. You don't really want to give your money to big, massive, you know, huge supermarket chain. You're starting to think a lot more about local food. I mean, you're right bang in the middle of a lot of interesting storms going on in terms of people thinking about local food from a nutritional perspective.
Yeah.
A lot of people are thinking about it from a sustainability perspective. So in some ways, you're in a good eye of the storm, as it were. And
yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about some of that stuff later on. And you know, we came across your stuff and it's more expensive.
Yes.
Because before then I was buying the 17p cans of tuna.
Yeah.
And I was scoffing them into me at lunchtime or whatever.
Yeah.
And even from something like an omega-3 content perspective,
yes,
it's night and day.
Yes.
It is astronomically better for me to eat better quality food. Big shock and horror.
Yeah.
But we're only starting to wake up to this, or at least me and peers and people kind of in the culture are only starting to wake up to it. So walk us through a little bit the process of getting tuna from the sea into the can.
Right.
And how does that compare differently with, say, the 17p stuff that I'm getting?
Well, you see, it doesn't matter. If you put good tuna into a can, you'll get good tuna out of the can.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how it's put in.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had people saying to me, oh, I wouldn't eat tin tuna again.
Yeah.
Well, we actually do it in tins as well, right? But we put albacore tuna into the tin, or
yeah.
we put yellowfin tuna in. So it all depends what goes in. And then there are different grades of tuna. I mean, all the loins would be premium,
mm-hmm.
no different than steaks.
Mm-hmm.
You take steaks, they're premium. Then you go down to minced meat, that's cheaper. So
yeah.
if you open up a tin of tuna and it's full of like mush and flakes, mm-hmm. you know, very, very fine pieces, that's a very cheap grade.
Yeah.
You know, that's when they're, you know, they're cleaning up the fish afterwards. So like, as long as people understand that if they're pricing apples with apples and oranges with oranges, then they can make a comparison.
Yeah.
as to how good a price it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, there's albacore tuna caught in, say, six different zones of the world, and they're six totally different fish. I mean, albacore tuna caught in the Pacific would have very high levels of mercury.
Mm.
Albacore tuna caught in the North Atlantic would have exceptionally low levels. So you can buy two jars and it could be a significant difference in price.
Mm-hmm.
Look where it comes from.
Yeah.
See the fat content. See why is it cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll give you an example. Our mackerel, we only sell winter mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
All of our mackerel is caught in late October and by the last week in November. That's it. Right? We will not buy mackerel outside of that because that's when the fat content is high.
Okay.
But we pay three times the price for mackerel at that time of year. Where summer mackerel I could buy for a third of the price.
Why is that?
There's no fat in it.
Wow. It's spent it all?
It's gone.
Wow.
So if you put a summer mackerel on a frying pan, they're dry.
Yeah.
Okay? You'll get very little fat from them. But if you put a winter mackerel on it, you will see the lovely oil and it's nearly like as if the fish has been rubbed with butter,
mm.
you know, and that's where the value is.
Yeah.
You know, if you buy fish in season,
yeah.
you will pay a premium for it. You know, there's no doubt about it. You will pay. I could sell mackerel for half the price of what I sell, but I don't want to sell cheap mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sell good mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have a brand built up in the south of Ireland now, whereas we're not the cheapest, but I challenge anybody to say that we're not the best.
Wow.
You know, and we are.
Yep.
And I mean, we've gone from selling one pallet a month to 30 pallets a month.
Class.
Yeah. And our name is getting out there and like, when people know what we sell and they taste it, then I think they'll get it.
Absolutely.
I mean, even our sardines. We launched the sardines, Irish cod sardines. We launched them maybe 2 weeks ago in Ireland. Already we have them. We got great support. All the super values in the south have us
Incredible.
Listed.
Incredible.
All done stores and Tesco are rolling them out as we speak. We had supply issues initially for the initial surge to get the stuff into the shops. So it's a little bit slower getting into some stores.
Yeah.
But I mean, not many people are aware that there actually is no fish in the world called a sardine. And there never was a fish called a sardine.
Okay, this is great. So I was going to do like a section with you where it's like debunking some common fish myths.
Okay.
And this is going to be the first one. So this is perfect. Let's just go ahead. Talk to us about the sardine myth.
Okay. The name sardine comes from Sardinia.
Right.
Where originally they did tin fish, but the fish they were tinning was a pilchard.
Okay.
So a lot of places, like in Cornwall, they'll say that we catch sardines in Cornwall. They don't. They catch pilchards.
Okay.
But they call them sardines.
Right.
There are over 22 different types of fish that can be called sardines. Anything from pilchards, sprat, herring, then there's Bresling sardines. There's a whole range of them. They all come from the same oily fish family, like the herring family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the fish that the Irish guys catch is called sprat. The Latin name Spratus spratus.
Okay.
Okay? And the particular fish we bought, say, for our first, say, 50,000 tins were bought from two local boats that landed the fish in Kittybegs.
Abbeck.
One boat's called the Rossard, which was built 60 years ago in Tyrrell's Boatyard in Arklow. And the other boat is called the Cadno. That's the Gallagher family, and the other family is the Cavanaghs. Cavanaghs and Gallaghers. And these guys live in Arnmore Island. Arnmore Island's just out off Burtonport. And I mean, I was so happy when we were able to buy their fish. The fish was caught about, I'd say, 2 miles away from the pier in Kittybegs.
Yeah.
They were brought into Kittybegs, and the size was perfect for what we want.
Mm.
The grade of fish that we specifically want are 10 fish per tin.
Yeah.
Now, if you get a cheaper sardine, there might be two fish in the tin, there might be three fish, four max,
mm-hmm.
okay? But we insist on 10, which means it's like spring lamb compared to mutton.
Right.
Way different product.
Mm.
The bone in the fish is like a thread.
Yeah.
So it's nearly non-existent. The scales are so mild that that's nearly non-existent.
Yeah.
So if you were to buy that on the continent, they would be calling them sardinellas, and they would be their gourmet sardine. In Ireland, we have them abundantly. We don't even know what to do with them. So we're very fortunate. Like, we can work directly with the fishermen.
Yeah.
And they know what we want. Okay. If they know we want premium sardines, I can go down and inspect the catch on the pier.
Mm.
You know, and like, I know when they're catching them. I can look at my screen to see where the boats are.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the fact that there's a connection with the community.
Totally.
Because, I mean, there's more to fishing than just fish.
Mm-hmm.
There are fishing communities all around the coast of Ireland.
Yeah.
And it's in their DNA. You know, their fathers or grandfathers, and it's what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that are in the farming industry and they're passionate about it. And it's not all about making money.
Yeah.
It's part of their identity.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a way of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I see them there, and they're so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
They say, God, you're doing a great job because you're selling our produce.
Mm.
You're putting our product on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we had nobody before.
Yeah.
But
this is the madness of it all, John. Like, you know, you could say something similar about lamb. You know, Northern Ireland makes so much lamb, it doesn't know what to do with it. And its people don't eat enough of it.
Yeah.
And you could say the same thing about fish. Like,
yeah.
Most families I know don't even eat fish.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's completely gone out of the culture, and maybe we could talk about why, but then it breaks my heart because then you go into, you know, you go into the shop and you pick up, say, a lamb or you pick up fish and you look at the packet and it's from like a million miles away.
Yeah.
And you're like, why are we eating food that we can get here on the island?
Yeah.
And all the air miles attached to that, all of the ethical things, all the sustainability things attached to that, it's completely mind-blowing. How has it got to that place in an industry where a lot of the fish being sold isn't even from local?
Well, I can explain that to you. Like, I was in a restaurant in Howth in County Dublin. Howth's a nice fishing port.
Yeah.
And they had on the menu catch of the day.
Right.
Sea bass.
Uh-huh.
There's no sea bass caught in Ireland. It's all farmed in Greece.
Crazy.
But yet, there wasn't enough people in the area to even know that. Like I say, Irish people know more about the Kardashians than they do about Irish seafood.
You mean more than what they know about any type of food we put in our bodies?
Well, like, we are an island nation.
Yeah.
Okay? We have the best, cleanest waters, you know, right around us. And actually, I feel, as part of the school education process, a little bit of knowledge. Like, I don't expect everybody to eat fish.
Sure.
But I think if somebody asks them a question, they should at least know a little bit. You know, see, the whole idea of eating fish in Ireland goes back to the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the dollar, right?
Okay.
The church used to have monasteries all along the rivers. And they used to trap fish. And the locals weren't buying enough. So they came up with this idea that you had to eat fish on a Friday or you'd go to hell.
Great marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Excellent work.
A little bit of intimidation thrown in there. So Irish people were kind of persecuted into eating fish, regardless of how good the fish was.
Right.
I mean, my dad grew up in Tipperary, and he said on a Friday you knew the fish was coming because you could smell it coming up the road.
Yeah.
They had no refrigeration. You know, they had no way of keeping fish.
Yeah.
And at the best of times, it was handled badly and badly filleted. So he would have been forced by his parents to eat fish on a Friday. And that's not a great way to start a relationship.
No, not at all.
And I've seen so many times, I do promotions with seafood, and you'd say to somebody, would you like to try some fish? And they pull these faces, and I thought, what's all that for?
Yeah, why the trauma response?
Yeah, you know. And they go, oh, I once had fish and I nearly choked on a bone. But if you go to the continent, the kids, they understand it.
Yep.
Like in the Basque Country in Spain, you won't see any McDonald's.
Yeah.
And the fish, like in a small town, say the size of, I don't know, say Letterkenny, there could be 12 or 14 fish shops and maybe one butcher shop.
Yeah.
I mean, they really...
That's mad.
They know, you know, they've forgotten more about fish than I'll ever know. You know, and they come to Ireland and they say, where's the seafood restaurants?
Mm.
And you go, right, yeah. What are you looking for? We just don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a process. And I would say Irish people, without a doubt, lockdown has been a game changer for us because a lot of people, they had more time to maybe be a little bit more diligent about what they bought.
Sure.
What they were buying. And they noticed that they weren't eating out as much. They could go into a shop and they could buy maybe fillet steaks or they could buy maybe premium fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked the experience.
Absolutely.
And they spent more time maybe Googling how to cook dishes and different fish showed up. So, I've noticed there's a, I don't know what you'd call it, a more informed generation coming behind us, which is good.
For sure.
Yeah, no, it's good. And I love when people ask questions.
Yeah.
And they want to know things about certain types of fish. And, you know, like you saw that thing, Seaspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
I was very disappointed with that. That was very one-sided. I mean, they were on about things like bluefin tuna stocks in the Pacific had diminished by 75% in the last 5 years. Okay, that's fine. And that is true. But bluefin stocks in the North Atlantic, where we are in Ireland, the quota has increased by 75% in the last 3 years. The numbers of bluefin tuna in Irish waters in the summer are so high that we're going to have to cull them shortly. They're going to be nearly like vermin.
That's crazy.
And the irony of it is, the European Union has a quota for bluefin tuna in the North Atlantic for 28,000 tonne per year, which is a lot.
Yeah.
I'd say half of that bluefin tuna spend probably 3 months in Irish waters eating our herring and all our oily fish. And Irish fishermen aren't allowed to catch one.
Crazy.
Yeah. So we really need public representation to look after the resource.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our seafood area, our seas around us are 10 times bigger than our land area. And yet we're not tapping into it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it is crazy. It's crazy. And in all the fish that's caught in that area, what percentage do Irish fishermen catch? 15%. You know, it's insane the potential that our industry has.
Yeah.
And the quality, and this is wild fish. This isn't farmed fish. This isn't fish that's been lying in a tank that has no muscle or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's go there a wee bit. See, just can you turn your microphone towards you? Pull it
a
little bit further away from you. Just because it's hitting that side on, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
This is another point that I really wanted to touch on. The difference between wild and farmed fish.
Yes.
Why should we care about that?
Well, you know, the first casualty in every conflict is the truth, right? So if you're selling farmed fish, you're going to spin it your way.
For sure.
If you're selling wild fish, you'll spin it your way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at This week alone, there's probably 100,000 tonne of blue whiting caught off the west coast of Ireland.
Yeah.
That's only this week. In the month of, say, February, March and April, there's 1 million tonne of blue whiting caught off the west coast. Probably 400,000 tonne of that in Irish waters, and the other 600,000 tonne a little bit outside it. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's all going in to feed farms, farmed fish. Not like all of it, say 50% of it.
Yeah.
Okay? So the notion that farmed fish isn't impacting on the wild stock is a notion. On average, it takes about 3 kilo of wild fish to be made into pellets to make 1 kilo of farmed fish.
Crazy.
So
it's kind of reminded me a little bit of, like, you know, that idea that it's better to grow vegetables because it's better for the land. And then you don't realize that you have to use all these fields to grow all this food just to give to the cows.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's that sort of idea. It's like you're putting, as you say, the ratios are all messed up.
Yeah. Now, why would you harvest 1 million ton of a wild fish to end up with, say, 200,000 ton of a farm fish?
Mad.
You know, the wild fish hasn't any antibiotics in it.
Yeah.
It hasn't been it's got muscle. It's been swimming 24 hours a day.
Mm.
You know, it's top class. You know, it hasn't been contaminated in any shape or form.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because I was a fisherman, obviously I'm pro wild fish.
Yeah.
You could put somebody across the table from me and they will tell you all the virtues of farmed fish.
Sure.
I'm not totally convinced about their argument.
Yeah.
I respect their opinion, mm-hmm, and their views on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, they could turn around and say to me, well, you're selling wild fish, so I expect you to be pro.
Yeah.
And that's a fair comment.
Of course it is, yeah.
But in general, I just feel we've got so much wild fish here. Why would we be bothered farming it?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a few, by the way, I should have said earlier, you're totally bang on the money about, like, kids in Basque country just not having a thing about fish at all, like just loving it.
Yes.
Like, I think I shared with you on the phone, you know, my wee daughter, she's about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And sometimes she'll come up to me and she'll go, and I'm like, oh, do you want to eat some fish with daddy? And she says, yeah.
Yeah.
And we sit on the kitchen floor and we share a tin of the blue sardines.
Oh, yeah.
The blue
yeah.
packet.
Okay.
And she goes mad for them.
Yeah.
And see her mum.
Yeah.
Her mom says, oh, that's disgusting. You couldn't be eating fish like that. That's so, because of just that, it's the mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing to do with the taste, nothing to do with the fish itself,
yeah,
but that's baked into the culture,
yeah,
you know, and that's just the way it is.
No,
but
you're right.
You know, she, in theory, will grow up just absolutely loving fish because she sees nothing wrong with it and she sees it as delicious food, which it is, you know?
Yeah.
So another kind of myth, I think, that people really hold on to. You hear people say, oh, I don't want to eat too much fish because I don't want to get mercury poisoning.
Yeah.
So you touched on that slightly, but,
yes,
you know, if I'm eating mackerel all the time, sardines all the time, and tuna all the time, is that something I need to keep on my radar?
Well, you see, it depends where the fish comes from.
Yeah.
Okay. As I say, the mercury levels in the Pacific would be 50 times higher than the North Atlantic.
Wild.
Okay. So it all depends on how old the fish is as well.
Yeah.
Okay? The older the fish are, the bigger the accumulation of mercury because the body can't really process it.
Aye.
Cause so it stores it.
Yeah.
So the likes of bluefin tuna there now, bluefin tuna can live up to maybe 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So within 20 years, even at very low levels of mercury in the water, they will get an accumulation. But most of our fish are 2.5 years old. So they're small fish. And the fact that they're caught in the North Atlantic, mercury levels are nearly negligible.
Yeah.
You know, like I do have certificates that'll tell you how much is in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've had women, they would say to me, oh, I'm actually pregnant and I'm concerned. And I'd say, yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you Google mercury and tuna, it will say albacore tuna are very high.
Mm-hmm.
But what they forget to tell you about is it's only the stock in the Pacific.
Yeah.
And most of that comes from the amount of coal-fired stations that the coal has been burnt in America.
Mm-hmm.
And the coal, the fumes from the coal go up into the atmosphere. And because of the prevailing winds, most of it ended up, fortunately for us, on the far side.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't end up in the North Atlantic. So that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So it's like saying some fish are endangered. Well, it depends on which stock you're referring to.
Yeah.
But the albacore tuna fishery is very well managed. And, I mean, Irish fishermen get 8% of the total European quota, which isn't great neither, but there's no point crying all the time. it is a well-managed fishery, and the stocks have been in very good shape and are in good shape. And that manifests itself in the fact that the quota for that fish has been increased.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the European Union. That's not some jumped up, you know, fishery organization in some faraway place that it's maybe a corrupt government where some guys are getting a load of dollars to allow overfishing for short-term gain.
Yeah.
This is a managed, organized fishery, and it's a shared fishery. Like the French share it with us, the Spanish fishermen share it with us. England did have a quota of 250 ton. They actually swapped it for something else because they didn't. It wasn't commercially viable to put boats to sea.
Yeah.
So they switched it with maybe France or Spain for maybe hake or something.
Yeah.
So that's it. But I mean, I do find it quite frustrating that Irish fishermen are not allowed to catch bluefin tuna,
mm-hmm.
and given the abundance of them off the west coast of Ireland,
mm-hmm.
and given the fact that we actually ranch them, as in feed them all summer as visitors.
yeah. They come and eat all of our food and then they leave.
Yeah, well, here's a good one for you. Last year, there was a fleet of 35 Japanese boats waiting outside the 200-mile zone catching those bluefin tuna.
That's mad.
That's 8 weeks' journey. They had to come through the Panama Canal. That's 8 weeks' journey to get here to catch what we have lying about the place. And yet we can't catch one.
That's crazy, man.
They are laughing. They are laughing. But they know fish.
Yeah.
You know, they're not coming here for the crack.
Yeah.
What they're catching and the time of year they're catching it, and the fact that the fish have been actually fattened like turkeys in all our bays all summer, you know, eating herring and mackerel and sardines, anchovies, anything.
Yeah.
And they just wait out there for them.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a hard tablet to swallow because we have a lot of fishing communities on the west coast of Ireland. We find it quite difficult.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and they have to decommission boats.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these are fisheries that we should be able to take a percentage of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there you go.
You know, my hope also, if things keep going the way that they are, my hope would be is that we as a culture don't mind spending a little bit more on our food. So what I mean by that is, you know, you can go into a supermarket and you can buy a thing of mints for a quid.
Yes.
And if you think about like everything that goes into getting that mints on your shelf.
Yes.
A quid's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to think what corners are being cut. And ultimately, we as a consumer, we pay for it, you know. We're eating something that isn't as high in omega-3 as it used to be. It's pumped full of antibiotics, blah, 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 blah. Whereas you go to the butcher, you know, a butcher, say, I'd charge you, I don't know, £9 a kilo for your mints.
Yeah.
It's significantly more. But as you say, you're getting a significantly different and better product.
Different
so I product. Hope that, you know, those fisheries you're talking about, that they'll be able to sell to people like you, get a better rate.
Yeah.
And sell a more premium product rather than go out and having to get all this cheap stuff that they would, you know, sell to somebody else.
Mm.
I hope that changes as well. A couple of other like quick fire things. So these were things that even people asked me to ask you. So like, you know, really short answers. How heavy is a tuna fully grown when you catch it? How big are we talking?
Well, from about 5.5 kilos will be the smallest fish that would come into our kind of waters, right?
Yeah.
Up to 30 kilos. That's the range.
30 kilos.
That's as big as they get.
Carnage. Right?
But if you get a bluefin tuna, that could be those one caught off Kittybegs it's a good few years ago by anglers, and it was 600 kilos. Like, that's as big as a cow.
But
they are... like, they are a spectacular fish.
Wow.
You know, that's why the Japanese are traveling that far to catch them, because they are trophies.
You used the word muscle earlier on. Like, imagine the muscle in that 600 kg thing. Like,
a tuna has to swim 24 hours a day. A tuna can't stop. because that's the way they breed.
Yeah.
All right. They don't have lungs. It's just through their gills.
Yeah.
So this is like, it's pure muscle. It's meat, you know, and that's why they're, if they're not healthy, they don't make it.
Yeah.
You know, they're somebody else's dinner.
Natural selection.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So they're not going to arrive here
and say, in bad shape.
No, they don't make it. They don't make it. So that to me is what wild fish is about.
That's great. Someone else wrote in, they said, is the fish in the tins cooked? And if so, how do you cook it before you put it in?
Yeah, it's all the fish are cooked whole first.
Okay.
Okay. Cooked whole for about 4 hours.
Right.
They're cooked in like big vats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's a small amount of salt put in some of them. That's just to help the processing. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then before they cook the fish, they cut the belly from it.
Yep.
That's the ventresca. That is the fillet. Okay. That is really premium. I mean, that's about €85 a kilo.
You have a black.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, don't you?
That's it.
That's what that is.
That is it. Gotcha. I should have brought you over a tin, but that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now that's it. In the continent, they'd call it ventresca. But the fish then is cooked for about 4 hours, okay? And then they put it onto an assembly line where they clean it all up. It falls off the bone nice and easy then, and then they scrape.
Right.
They clean it.
That's how you get the bones out as well.
Yes, yes.
It's like a slow cooker almost.
Yes.
And it peels away.
Okay. Exactly. And then they're cut into certain sizes to put into the various size jars.
Yeah.
And then the olive oil is put in or whatever else is put in, and then they're put into a steamer to be like pasteurized.
Yeah.
Okay. And that causes the vacuum then to seal on the lid.
Ah.
So another good thing about preserved fish is that there's no refrigeration needed after that.
Yeah.
You know, it's naturally preserved.
Yeah.
And I mean, rather than frozen fish and other fish, you're running freezers and fridges all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This just sits there and it's low maintenance and it's as good. Actually, I'd prefer it a couple of years after it's in the jar.
Oh, yeah? The wee fermentation process? That's not the right word.
No. I'll tell you what happens. The fish kind of expand in the jar a little bit.
Okay,
and the oil gets all into it.
Ah, yeah, okay? Yeah.
So it's kind of like toast with melted butter on it, you know, and it really helps. Now, sometimes when we're really busy, our stuff would be processed and it could be in the shops within 8 weeks.
Wow.
And I would notice straight away, it's a tiny little bit kind of firm.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So what I would do, no big deal, if I had a jar for myself, which I have a lot, I would just open it up, you know, break up the flakes. You know, there's like a grain on it, like wood. Mm-hmm. I'd open it up and I'd pour the oil back over it again.
But that's the, you know, if we're talking specifically about your, actually all your fish, to be honest with you, like we'll talk explicitly about your mackerel and your tuna. You know, I've never had, you know, tin versions anyway, where you actually see the whole part of the meat. You know, it really is. It's like a piece of fillet steak.
Yes.
As opposed to something blended up in a smoothie maker, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's mostly loins we work with.
Yeah.
You know, we keep the pieces together. And then the smaller pieces, they go down into, say, food services. Okay, so sandwich bars or catering companies, like if they're going to make up a mix, then they're going to have to break it up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the smaller pieces in the offcuts will go down into that.
Yep.
So, I mean, we'd supply, like, I don't want to start mentioning names, but we'd supply a good few, like, sandwich bars and delis.
Sure.
But when they serve our tuna, they tell the customers what they're serving
mm-hmm.
because that's what a brand is about.
Yep.
You know, and I see companies there, you go into the restaurant and they'll have Heinz ketchup or they'll have Ballymaloe relish or they'll have Kerrygold butter or whatever it is.
Yeah.
People like that.
Absolutely.
People like to know that they're getting what they would perceive as a premium product.
Yeah.
But if they have to pay an extra dollar or an extra euro for the sandwich, they're quite happy with that.
100%.
You know, because I personally feel better if I see that a company is using good produce.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind paying it. But I mean, if I see a van pulling up and it's kind of like cheap and cheerful stuff in the back, I go, right, good luck. I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
You know, so price is important.
Yeah.
But it's not everything.
Yeah.
You know.
What would you say to the individual listening who doesn't want to eat fish because they're afraid it's unsustainable?
Well, it all depends on what type of fish. mm-hmm. you know, they're talking about. I mean, that's a fairly broad stroke, the brush.
Very, very broad.
Yeah. You know, I mean...
Because there's a lot of... People have a lot of guilt with their food. We call it, we were joking earlier, we call it avocado guilt.
Okay, okay.
Where, you know, you're afraid of your air miles, and then there's all the ethical implications of, like, are the people who are farming this stuff, are they getting a fair wage, you know, all that sort of argument. Mm. But people have this about everything, mm. you know, because there's this fear, you know, feels like everything on the shelf that you look at, there's some sort of implication involved. And I think fish has been thrown under the bus heavily.
And maybe justifiably so as well. I mean, if you see a tin of sardines for 35 cents in the supermarket, right? You figure, what's the fisherman getting for that?
100%.
If he got the 35 cent alone.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
He'd have nothing.
Yeah.
You know, who processed it? You know, nobody's making any money out of this.
Yeah, the lorry driver that drove it over, the ship that, you know.
The transport would cost that nearly. Yeah. So I think sometimes we have to think, is it cheap or is it expensive in the overall scheme of things? Somebody's getting exploited at five or six junctions there.
Yeah.
You know, like I see a so-called sustainable brand, and it's, I'm not going to mention the brand, but they've got this MSC certification, and people think, oh, this is good. I looked at the fish, it's caught in area 67, okay, FAO 67.
Okay.
And nobody will know what that is, right? But that's out of Indonesia. I thought, okay, that's fair enough. Then I see, but it's been processed in Vietnam. Wages, I think, are something like $4 or $5 a week. Okay? And then it comes by sea, which is 20,000 kilometres to Dublin.
Yeah.
Right? And it's called sustainable.
Yeah, crazy.
I'd question that. That's a kind of a warped terminology.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing sustainable about that, because the fishermen, I see the fishermen catching it.
Mm-hmm.
No life jackets, no health and safety. They are catching them with line and poles. And I'd say if one of them fell over the side, they wouldn't even stop to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
They'd just get another couple somewhere else. So there's a price being paid.
For sure.
You know, and there's nothing ethical about that.
Yeah.
So, as I say, the first casualty in a lot of situations is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, bringing stuff from halfway around the world, if it was better, I could see some justification in it.
Yeah.
But to bring cheap, inferior products here for very little benefit to anybody along the way,
yeah,
bar the second last person in the chain,
yeah,
which is probably some big corporation.
Yeah.
And it's kind of dressed up as being sustainable. I'm sorry, I don't buy that.
Yeah. And then, you know, to make it all selfish and about us, we also lose in the scenario because of what we're putting into our body. You know, like we didn't even cover like how beneficial it is to eat fish in general. You know, I think it was on maybe one of your frozen packets of tuna. Something along the lines of, you know, live longer, eat fish.
Oh, yeah. We have that slogan, eat fish, live longer.
Eat fish, live longer, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's actually written on the front of that little carton you have there. And turn the side of it up.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the key, for me, the key. The reason why we're having this conversation today is because of what's written inside this heart. High in omega-3.
Yeah.
Like for me, omega-3 has been a game changer for so many areas in life. And the importance of omega-3 cannot be overstated. Like, I'll go on a wee omega-3 rant here. Like, it's called an essential fatty acid because your brain can't produce it.
Yes.
The only way for you to get it is through your diet.
Yes.
And I, like, you know, lots of other people, when you look into it and you realize that it's, you know, it beats antidepressant medication and placebo, that it helps your longevity, blah, 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 blah. You know, I rushed and what did I do? I got an omega-3 supplement because that's the Western way.
Yes.
And if I turn over your can of mackerel.
Yeah.
In the nutritional content.
Yes.
You have how many milligrams of omega-3?
Correct.
Is in all of your stuff?
Yes.
And seeing that tin of mackerel?
Yes.
There is more than in my mega high dose of omega-3.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the God's honest truth.
I'll give you a scary one. In that tin of Ventresca,
yeah.
A lady said to me one day, that's €10 in the stores. Now, I don't actually sell it in the stores.
Yeah.
But she made a comparison, it'd be €10.
Yeah.
I said, you're right.
Uh-huh.
I said, do you know that there's as much omega-3 in that as there is in half a pallet of farmed fish from Vietnam? And I said, half a pallet of farmed fish, will cost you €3,000. So I said, I actually don't think mine's that expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't fancy eating half a pallet
100%
of fish that's been reared in like a canal somewhere. Yeah. You know, so, you know, and the omega-3 that you will get in wild fish, let it be my fish or anybody else's fish, mm-hmm. it's original.
Yep.
It hasn't been genetically modified. It hasn't been pumped with something
yep.
to extract more from it.
Yep.
It is what it is.
That's the thing. It's straight from the source.
Straight from the source.
Yeah.
Made by nature.
Absolutely.
And that's what's important. And, you know, my daughter, Kira, she's got two little girls. And if they're introduced to eating fish, they will love it.
Yeah.
And they won't see anything strange about it.
Not at all.
And hopefully in a couple of years' time, if they're asked would they like some fish, they'll turn around and say, well, actually, I'd prefer haddock or I'd prefer whiting. And they'll make an informed decision.
Yeah.
Rather than pulling their face at it.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is quite rude.
Yeah.
You know, and it shows a level of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and my daughter will be very, herself and her husband will be very keen. They'll go to farmers' markets and they'll put more effort into sourcing their food. But they're very well aware that their children's development is a priority to them
mm-hmm.
because they're parents.
Yeah.
And I think there's not a parent in the country that will not lie down on the road for their children
yeah.
to make sure that they've given them the best start in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had older people coming up to me and they'd say, oh, it's a bit pricey, but at my age, all I have is my health.
Sure.
You know, and when COVID came in, we only had one defence mechanism against it, and that was our own immune system.
So true.
Everything else that was brought to the table, it's questionable, right? There was guys making money from it. But I know people that would have had health issues, and they would have said to me, oh, well, I'm definitely upping my vegetables,
uh-huh.
my, you know, healthy eating.
Absolutely.
I'm not putting fish on that list. I'm just saying healthy eating in general.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe cutting back on certain things that weren't so good for you, but their immune system would definitely be the winner.
Totally.
And, you know, there'll be surveys done about the effectiveness of all the different medications. Will there be surveys done on the amount of people that actually up their intake of certain vegetables, fish, other products that will, you know, build their immune system up?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would like to see.
Yeah.
But then again, I have an interest in that. I'll put my hands up. I'm selling
fish. Of course
fish.
You are. Yeah, yeah. But like, so like, you know, I'll step in again. I'll say that I've, you know, I don't have to spend the money on my relatively expensive omega-3 supplements anymore.
Yes.
Because I just eat your fish.
Yeah.
And it's right there on the label. And I know you. And yeah, I trust you. And I trust where the fish has come from. I know yeah. it's wild caught.
Yes.
I know the importance of that. I know that whole sources of nutrition are far superior than any supplement on the planet. Because
yeah.
as you say, it's made by nature.
Yeah.
And I also know that it is an investment into my long-term health.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of stuff. And spending a little bit of extra money now, it's going to save me potentially decades of costs in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, medical bills, in terms of time off work, in terms of just suffering. And that's the importance of the healthy lifestyle, you know. And I look at my daughter and, you know, you said parents would lie down on the road for their kids. Of course they would.
Without a doubt.
Like, you can name study after study after study after study that shows how important omega-3 is for kids, for their development, for their brain,
yeah.
for older people to, you know, stop getting Alzheimer's and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And so many of us are like, nah, I'm not going to spend an extra pound because I want to spend that pound somewhere else.
Oh, and that's fine too.
That's fine. People are entitled to their own opinion.
That's fine too. But the quality of life that people will have, forget about eating my fish.
Yeah.
Just eating properly.
Yeah.
And let that be, you know, balanced diet with a lot of vegetables and that. I mean, I'm not a dietitian, but I just know for a fact.
Sure.
I mean, I would have high cholesterol, but it's more of a genetic thing. It's not really what I eat.
Yeah.
But I do eat a lot of fish.
Yeah. There's the buzzer.
That's all right. But it's not doing any harm.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that, I had to get an angiogram last week and it was clean. You know, the doctor said, you're in great shape.
Yeah.
But I do have cholesterol.
Yeah.
But I put it down to the fact that I do eat particularly well.
Yeah.
And I suppose the fact that I have fish probably at least five times a week.
Yeah.
Because I find it very easy and light on my digestive system.
For sure.
Whereas if I, look, don't get me wrong, I do like meat,
mm-hmm.
but I do find meat can be hard to process.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel a bit bloated and a bit heavy afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I've never eaten fish and regretted eating it afterwards.
Aye. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in Fish City here the last night and I had some lovely cod.
Yeah.
In the hotel last night, I had haddock.
Yeah.
I actually know the suppliers to supply both places and I'd be quite confident that they would look after. And it was good.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, afterwards we could go out and, you know, we enjoyed our evening.
For sure.
Sometimes if you have a big steak or...
Strid the bed.
Yeah. You do. It does knock you down a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
The last thing I will say, because I have to let you go, I set my timer a wee bit early so I would know when to close.
That's right.
I just want to talk about the convenience of it. So see now, I just come to work and I throw a can in the bag and away you go. There you go. There's, you bring a bit of fruit, a bit of some vegetables with you. You've got a world-class nutritional meal for hardly doing any effort. Yeah. And, you know, you would have seen, I mean, you still do, but, you know, you look around, we go out here and walk around Belfast City Centre.
Mm-hmm.
You would maybe see an older gentleman in his 80s sitting down with a newspaper, pulling out a wee can of fish, wee tin of fish, open it up, eating it, that's his wee snack, and he's away.
Yeah.
That has gone so out of fashion.
Yeah.
The idea of pulling out a tin of fish, people, younger generation is going to throw my generation under the bus here.
Yeah.
They wouldn't conceive of doing it. And it makes total sense.
But you see, when you get people older, okay, and say maybe they're living on their own.
Yeah.
Right? So they kind of struggle to get certain types of foods, right?
Yeah.
And they don't have the time or the patience to be doing all the cooking maybe, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, they could have 10 different tins of different fish. Forget about my fish, but any types of fish, right?
Yeah.
It's convenient.
Yeah.
It's effortless.
Yeah.
And it's got the nutrition that our body needs.
Absolutely.
You know, whereas going out buying slices of processed fish, or not fish, but meats and that sort of thing, may not be the best thing overall for them. But we would have a lot of older people. Obviously, the older people sometimes would have more money, but they're thinking, I need to eat well.
Yeah.
I've got different conditions, and I'd rather medicate myself through food.
Yeah.
Than medication.
Yeah. As you say, it's nature's way.
Yeah.
Cool. Shines Seafood. I've got a lovely box of their new products here. It's Irish sardines. So everything that John was talking about today, all of the local sardines that are now being able to come to our shelves, you can pick it up. I'm going to say where fine food is sold. But I know you're really breaking into the north and you're in a lot of places and you're going to continue to...
Yeah.
Pop up in lots of different places. You can also buy direct from your website.
Yeah, you can buy from our website, www.shineseafood.ie. Yeah. But, you know, if there's anybody out there wants international, wants to be an agent for our products or anything, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to grow the brand, you know, we're interested in talking to anybody because we've limited resources in terms of our family business, so we can't be everywhere. But this trade show in Belfast has been... A great experience. You know, we meet up with people that kind of know us and then you're putting the name to it.
Yeah.
And I'm fired up for this. This has been a nice weekend for us as well. Well, week, not weekend. Week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, I can't suggest picking up a few tins. Try it. You know, even if you feel like fish isn't for you or you've had a bad experience, give it a go. Like, I don't endorse stuff. There's no financial relationship here. This is a product I've been using for 6 months. I tell everybody about it, and it just occurred to me, I was like, look, if I'm going to do a series on local food, I should give John a call and see if he would come. And so I'm glad it worked out today.
No,
really appreciate you. Congratulations on your award. It's well
good
deserved
stuff. Yes.
And you better get in the car here and go pick it up.
I just said to my wife and my daughter, they're collecting the award, I said, geez, don't do a Will Smith on it anyway. Just shake hands with somebody.
Absolutely. Thanks, John, appreciate your time.
Okay, and thanks for having me here. Cheers.
No bother.
Bye.